Lupe Fiasco songs. I'm sorry, Lupe. I really shortchanged you. To be fair, it's been a minute. The Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus. Ehlers Forfar. Blake Murphy. And speaking of it being a minute, so nice to see you, Darcy Tucker. It's been a while. I'm pretty sure that I've texted you many times. I don't think you have my number saved in your phone anymore. I get a lot of like responses as though you're like, no, sorry, too busy. That's I think if we look through our text messages for the last couple of years, that's all it is you replying to me, no, sorry, too busy.
What was your first inkling that I ever saved your number? Yeah.
I didn't know we were allowed to respond to you like that, Rude. JD. Thank you, Darcy.
See, you know, I wanted to get off on a nice foot. I wanted this to be cordial and nice, and then you had to be rude like that. This just hurts. It hurts. It hurts a lot. You know, first you don't introduce me to Matt's, now this.
Yeah, well, I was known as being a pest, so why not continue the role to today?
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you, buddy. It's nice to hear your voice.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So, funny thing that we have in common is we're going to be doing this Molson campaign. I don't know if you knew that, but we're both involved in this Molson Hall of Fan, which is very exciting. So I don't know if you've been able to get involved at all, but or if you can talk about it, but it's a really cool campaign that's coming out for Leafs fans especially. So I wanted to touch on what they can do or what they can win, and if you had any insight on how we could choose some deserving fans.
Absolutely. I did know that, by the
Ooh,
way.
Ooh, exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what? Listen, fans have been, you know, watching from afar, and as the official beer of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Molson has come up with the Molson Hall of Fan, and it runs through October 20th to November 15th. And what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to nominate yourself or another fan, which are the real MVPs of what's going on again now with having fans back in Scotiabank Arena. So you nominate yourself, you just send a picture or video. Obviously, you have to be legal drinking age, and you just send it over to the Molson Hall of Fan .ca/Maple Leafs, and man, you can get your banner enshrined as the Molson Hall of Fan at Scotiabank Arena, and I think it's amazing. I think it's probably the only way maybe I can get a banner up in Scotiabank Arena. So it's awesome. I think it's really cool, and you know, great for the fans to get involved in something like this.
Yeah, so there's going to be an official induction ceremony. There's going to be a special delivery from Maple Leafs alumni. I'm not, you know, not sure who that could be, but definitely a really cool thing. And fun things like a jacket, a pint glass, a beer fridge. So yeah, if you want more information, check out the Molson Hall of Fan and apply. But I'm very excited. Hopefully I can win. I don't think I can,
absolutely.
But
absolutely. I think everybody should be super excited about this, and especially having our fans back in the arena. I think it's great for the players, and obviously moving forward, it's like having another burst of energy in the building.
So, Ehlers, unfortunately, I don't think you're going to be eligible to win since you're a part of the campaign. Me, on the other hand, I'm likely eligible. I'm curious, Darcy, are you a part of the selection committee, and are there bonus points if my submission is in a Darcy Tucker jersey?
Well, anybody that's wearing a Darcy Tucker jersey might get extra points, but I highly doubt that. You know what? I've been very fortunate to be a part of the City of Toronto and the Toronto Maple Leafs over the course of my lifetime, and there's no better organization to be a part of, and it's fun to be an alumni, walk around the City of Toronto right now with the team that the boys have.
I'm going to one-up Blake. I have a rookie card from my first year ever playing hockey, and on the back of it says, who's your favorite hockey player? And it says Darcy Tucker, so... I know. I'm going to one up Blake, and I'll even shoot a photo up on Twitter if people want to see it. It's it's cute. I was playing for the Georgina Blaze.
The Georgina Blaze. That's amazing. I love to hear those sorts of stories.
Vintage.
My hockey cards, I wish I still looked like that person in those hockey cards. But unfortunately, you get older and grayer, and life goes by.
Yeah, no, it looks really rough. All your trips to like Italy,
yeah,
you know,
tough.
All your Instagram photos of you having like wine with your big family, just like, oh, getting old is so hard. Oh, just look at us with this ocean front view. Oh, the horrors of it all, the aging curve. Oh.
Winning golf trophies, yeah, yeah, all yeah, sorts yeah, of
you're,
stuff.
You're tough
doing just, looks awful.
You're doing just fine. So,
gosh, yeah, I had a fairly fun summer, to say the least.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great. You know, a lot of family time, which you know, as you guys know, me and especially JD, I'm a family guy, and I love being around my kids and my wife and my extended family with my brother-in-law Shane. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. And it is really great that you do that stuff. And yeah, it's been something that obviously has been going on for you for a very long time. So you mentioned that you like being around the city right now, and yeah, you're pretty recognizable, probably even with a mask on. I'm guessing that people approach you and ask you about this hockey team, and you're an alumni who's at the games. You said it's fun talking about them. I am curious though, because it feels like right now there's a lot of fan pressure, and even the team, there has been moments where we felt like, hey, there's this kind of divide right now between the fan base and between some of the players. And I wonder what you think just about how guys handle that. And even more specifically, if anyone actually has approached you and asked for any advice.
Yeah, we're talking hockey nonstop, whether it's here at our kitchen table or I'm at dinner out throughout the city. That's what makes Toronto such a special place to play. And I really believe as a hockey player in Toronto, you have to own each and every moment of it. You know, there's going to be times where it's difficult, and there's going to be times where there is pressure, but I always, when I was around it, I always enjoyed, you know, the pressure of it all. And if you can't take that in and enjoy it and have fun with it, listen, there's going to be times where you're not playing well. There's going to be times where you're playing great. It's just about keeping that even keel. But at the end of the day, there's nothing better than being a Toronto Maple Leaf. I don't care where you play or where you played other places. Toronto and the city of Toronto and the fan base and the people here, they're just looking for passion and players who play each and every shift as hard as they possibly can. And they'll never go wrong by playing hard. And that doesn't mean scoring goals and points and all that other stuff. As long as you're playing hard and you're showing that you're dedicated to the organization and you want to be a Toronto Maple Leaf, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I brought that question up because, you know, I'm just letting people know out there that if you do see Darcy, you see him out in the streets, you see him wherever, approach him, you know, talk to him, ask him these questions. He's there for it. He wants to hear what you have to say, right?
I absolutely do. Yeah. You'll find me at the grocery store.
Yeah, anywhere. Out for dinner with his family. That's a good time for a photo, I would say, is, you know, there's good lighting in a lot of restaurants, so that's a great place to just, you know, snap a quick pic, get it up on the gram, anything for the fans.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I have no problem taking photos. I'm looking a little grayer and older nowadays, so I don't get recognized quite as much as I used to. And but the eyes don't lie. People know my eyes are pretty intense, so you can see it beyond the mask.
So maybe a younger version of yourself, is if a lot of people are comparing you to Michael Bunting or Michael Bunting to you. And I saw your tweet from the other night where you said that you liked his play and you liked his style. And then I dug into it a bit more, and he was, you know, you were one of his idols growing up. So I just wanted to kind of talk about the comparison with Michael Bunting. What are you liking from his game so far? And is it nice to see a young guy that likes to get down into the paint and play hard in this market?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, some of the talk over the last couple of years was, you know, that sort of player igniting, you know, our team. And I think that anytime you bring in someone with that much passion, the dedication to wanting to be a Toronto Maple Leaf, hometown kid, it's pretty special. And I think, you know, he's taken that role and done an unbelievable job with it. You know, I think he's not taking it for granted. I think that the opportunity to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and dedicate yourself to that is important to him. And I just enjoy the passion. Listen, at the end of the day, you love guys that are willing to do all those other little things around the game that make it easier on his teammates. And I'm sure that him having the opportunity to have family and friends in the building is a big thing for him. And I'm enjoying watching him. I love the number. I think he's the first guy to wear number 58. So roll with it. There's going to be a bunch of 58 jerseys in the building for years to come if he continues to play this way.
So I don't mean to oversimplify this, but it's hard not to at times, because Bunting is someone who has come in here and basically become a fan favorite right away because he's not afraid to go to the blue paint, right? He'll stand in there, he'll take some contact, he's a little undersized, and he'll do it. And sometimes that results in goals, right? You end up getting production there. And you are someone who was very good at that, right? Going to a dirty area despite your size and finishing, right? And I always look at it and say, that's the formula for here. That's the formula for this place to be loved. That's how you end up being Darcy Tucker, who, you know, gets bothered by people at restaurants and who gets recognized, you know, years after a playing career. What is the part of that that we miss, you know, as people who don't play or as people who don't know or who haven't been there, as to why it is so difficult to actually be that person and put it into practice?
See, I don't find it that difficult. And that's why I find it sometimes my understanding of certain things that difficult. It's a mindset. It truly is. And if you can get it in your mind that, listen, you don't need to highlight real goal every time you step on the ice. You just need to manufacture things, especially when the game gets tough and gritty and dirty and, you know, there's nothing happening. Sometimes you just have to go to the net and bang one in. And it creates so much more energy in the building. You know, I think, you know, having the fans back at Scotiabank Arena now is going to be a huge lift for the players. And, you know, I love just as much, you know, the fans getting up out of their seats with a big hit or a tenacious play or around the puck. You know, those sorts of things are just as important as a goal or assist or a point. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I really like the mix. I think that, you know, players that have come in are going to add something different from an element of that sort of energy. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the fans react to all these new players on the team.
Again, Darcy has partnered with Molson Canadian, the official beer of the Toronto Maple Leafs, as they are creating the Molson Hall of Fan, an in-arena shrine of the most deserving fans to ever rep our home team. You want to learn more about it? You can go to MolsonHallOfFan.ca/Maple Leafs. Darcy, thanks for making time this morning, man. Great to hear from you.
I appreciate it. Great chatting with you. Send that picture on Twitter. I want to feel young today again, so I want to see that.
All right. When I get home, I'll find it.
See you, man.
Amazing. Great chatting with you guys today, and everybody check out the Molson Hall of Fan. Awesome.
See you, bud. Darcy Tucker. Leafs legend. That's actually why I think what you've seen so far from certain players is not going to change very drastically when it comes to net front presence things. Because a guy like Darcy Tucker says it, it's not that hard to him. You keep trying to go and say, well, what is the thing? What's the component of this? Is it a read? Is it a timing? No.
You're born with it or you're not.
Exactly.
You're 5'10", 180, and you can do it.
Yeah.
And it's not a size thing necessarily. And we talk about, you know, one of the such an encouraging thing about Bunting before he got here and in the early sample so far is, shooting percentage. And yeah, sure, it's probably going to regress. But you know where you have a really good shooting percentage is in those dirty areas. Right. And Darcy Tucker had almost a 15% shooting percentage during his Leafs tenure. And that's where most of them came. Mm-hmm. And that's I think that's the model for these guys, at least the two guys playing the left wing on the top two lines right now.
All of them. Engvall, stand there. Kerfoot, stand there. Richie, stand there.
You have Richie. He's so big.
That's the problem. So there's a couple things. You know the person who's really good looking, but then they go to college and they eat the bad college food and they drink beer the entire time and then they don't look so good, but they still act like they look really great? Right?
Yeah, I know that person. Yeah. It wasn't me, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Where is this going? Don't look at us.
I went on the opposite path.
I kind of feel that way sometimes when I watch Nick Ritchie, in the sense of, this is someone who was drafted 10th overall, has that pedigree, and yet thinks that he can play like he was the 10th overall pick, because that's the way that he still sees himself.
Does he though? Because like the issue to me hasn't been like he views himself as a high skill guy. Or
no,
he's
I'm
trying
saying
to do
he doesn't
much.
Do the dirty things in the game, which is that Michael Bunting has no illusions as to who he is and how he got here. He's like, what do you need me to do? I will do it.
Where am I going to make the most money?
Yes. I'll go in there and you can put the sticks into my spine. And if I finish a goal once every three games,
it's worth it.
It's beyond worth it. And he doesn't care. He will just keep doing it because he is built that way. Mm-hmm. And he, again, no illusions. Nick Ritchie, I don't think he's trying to do too much offensively. I don't see someone who is like, oh, he's taking too many shots or just zone entries.
Don't know what he's trying to do at all.
But I'm saying that, man. Mm. The way for you to get by here, the way for you to stay in the top six is to let go of the whole idea that you're a 10th overall pick, is to treat yourself as though you are a fringe roster player, which is what he should be.
Who's on your third team.
Who's on your third team and who just had basically a version of being non-tendered by the Boston Bruins after you scored 15 goals and had what was like technically, statistically, your best year. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to change because what Tucker just said. It's not that hard if it's not hard to you innately. If you don't already have just the instinct and the guts to go there, I don't know if you really develop that. Mm-hmm. I can't really think off the top of my head of players who drastically shifted their game, who became someone who was a perimeter player to someone who would stand in the middle of the ice and take a beating and be willing to be in those harder areas to play in. And so all I know is that if I'm Nick Ritchie, I watch Michael Bunting and I say to myself, why can't I do that? All I have to do is that. I don't need to score from the slot. I don't need to finish the Marner pass perfectly. I don't need to be Austin Matthews. I don't need to be the 10th overall pick. He's a $2 million player that all you need to do is be 6'3" and go into a corner and make it uncomfortable for somebody and then go into the front of the net and finish the odd play and have the 15 to 20 goals that basically you're signed up to have on that line. So that's it. If you don't start to see it now, it's just hard for me to believe that we're going to have conversations and 50 games into the season going, what does Nick Ritchie need to do to be better? Cause it's like, it's already obvious, man. It's already obvious. And the guy right below you is doing it and he's popular and you're not. And just why is he popular and you're not? To equate this to a popularity thing, or to a beautiful person who goes to university and ends up, you know, not coming out of there looking so...
The beautiful person goes to university narrative funny.
But it's just, it's the popularity thing, right? You can't treat people the same way as you were when you were just like the hottest person in high school. So it's kind of the same thing with Ritchie where I go, look at yourself as to what you might be doing wrong and look at somebody who is doing something right and try to learn from them. Try to steal something from them. And that's all I want him to do. And I think that's all anybody wants him to do. And yet I don't really have a lot of faith that he's going to do it.
And like, it's not even, you're not even getting asked to steal from something that's really foreign to you. Like you more or less did it last year. Mm. So just do that again.
Yeah. We'll see. We will see. That's cool that you and Darcy were partnering on that thing.
Yeah, it is cool.
You should have had the photo prep.
I know.
I didn't want to criticize you, but
I know. I'll get it the second I'm home.
It at home. It's like, wait.
I know where it is. I can picture it on my bookshelf.
Oh, you're like, I'll look for it. It's on your bookshelf.
I know where it is, Darcy. Yeah. I'll get it.
I pictured it was in some kind of a shoebox at the bottom of underneath your bed. You're like, it's framed in a photo on my bookshelf. It's
framed,
the first thing you see when you come in my home.
I have a bunch of like little memory thing. Okay, I don't need to get into my bookshelf display, but I have a old hockey card and my pro hockey card beside each other. It's like a cute little contrast thing. Anyway, I will find it and I'll toss a photo up. And I was wrong about the team. My brother just texted me and corrected me. It wasn't the Georgian Blaze. It was the Sutton Rangers. And I knew that and I blew it on air. Sutton Rangers I played for.
Maybe your brother should come in.
Should be on air here with us. Sutton Rangers.
He listens a lot.
I like this. You can't get help from Vic and Daniele. No.
But I can get help from my brother on an interview.
Unbelievable.
Thanks, well, Jordan.
No, actually, he's...
Shout out to Jordan. He's doing well.
Honestly, you guys are
good
on the
brother.
Hot seat.
Like, Jordan,
you guys back
Jordan's
there.
Willing to go to the dirty areas.
Yeah, he knew my stats better than I did.
Meanwhile, you guys...
I'm wearing his hand-me-down equipment in the photo, which is cute. Mm. Yeah, he's my big brother. I was better hockey player, though, so...
So, yeah, a little internal competition, I would say, would be good for this show, you know? Might be nice.
We'll call Jordan up. He's a financial guy. Maybe he can do some stats with you there, Blake.
If people could see Vic's face right now, he's like, he's trying to fake laugh through it.
He's like, damn it.
He's like, oh yeah, this is funny. I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah.
And he's shutting off our mics. Yeah. He's unplugging everything in that room right now.
And you're right on break now.
And Ellie's gotten a little lower in the chair.
Yeah.
It's like, all you see is eyes.
I can't even see him from here. So.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Just saying that other people know. Yeah. Other people know what to do. Fan Morning Show, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Follow us on the socials, Twitter and Instagram, at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar, at Blake Murphy ODC. It's very nice for our next guest to shout me out on Twitter after I did his show as a guest. Although it was very strange because I was a guest, but I was basically just interviewing the hosts, you know? Because, like, what do I know? There are two guys who have actual hockey resumes, and I'm just there, like, they're like, what do you think about the Leafs? I'm like, I don't know.
What do you think about the Leafs?
So now we'll do this the way that it was always meant to be. It's Nick Kyprios, co-host of Real Kipper and Born. How's it going, buddy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So it was kind of fun having you on.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, actually. It was really great.
My invite got lost in the mail.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you've got better ideas. I know that right off the bat.
The entire premise of me coming on was that my takes are bad.
They're really bad. Yeah, they're like, really bad, and we just critiqued them. And,
That's one way of putting it.
You were okay until you got into your talk on the power play, and you made the argument that Carlton the Bear and for front net presence.
I mean,
and
he's a big body.
Wow.
Well, and I didn't disagree with you on that he could take the eyes away from the goalie, but I questioned his mobility.
I don't think he's got good hands either.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't even have fingers.
That's the stuff that we have to deal with when JD's on our show.
I just think if you're going to give people a shot, why not give everybody a shot? You know, like, so give Carlton a look. He's been around. He's been with the organization a long time. He's loyal. I just, again, the size, you can't teach size, Kipper, and he's got that. So we just talked about Nick Ritchie because he's been a bit of a hobby horse lately in Leafland, but we had Darcy Tucker on earlier today and I asked him, hey, what am I missing about net front? What am I missing about guys like Darcy Tucker who are undersized, who are unafraid to go into the blue paint and absorb some sticks, take a face wash, but try and finish goals? What am I missing essentially about Michael Bunting that's harder than it looks, right? Because to me, somebody who didn't play, it seems like the easiest thing you could do, like not obviously from a physicality standpoint, but from a just X's and O's, what your skill set is, go to the front of the net, stand in the blue paint, try to bang home a puck. And he said it's not hard for him, and he was built that way. So when we talked about Nick Ritchie, who's 6'3", and Darcy Tucker and Michael Bunting would kill for those bodies, do you think that it's something that can be taught? Do you think that it is something? Yeah. Do you remember a guy in your career that changed the way that he played drastically from someone who was more of a perimeter player to someone who just decided they were eventually going to go to that area? Or is that something where, hey, you either got it or you don't, baby?
Yeah, I lean towards the either you have it or you don't. And this is, it's just not about going to stand in front of the net. It's about the IQ of when to get there and when to stay in and when to get out. And it's just not that simple. Nick Ritchie, you're a big body, go stand in front of the net. If I had a nickel every time I've heard a coach say, hey, you know, go stand in front of the net. It's no, go stand in the front of the net when the timing's right. And there's a science to it and there's a feel to it. And of course, it all comes back to your hockey IQ. And I think Bunting right now has a great feel for what he's capable of doing and what he's not capable of doing. And he's not a guy that's just going to stand in there and take punishment. He's going to get in and get out, and he's going to dart in and dart out. And if there's a loose puck behind the net, he's not going to stay in front of the net and expect somebody else to go get it. He's going to go get it himself, and he can keep pucks loose. He can keep them alive, and he can have the sense to sustain a forecheck. And that's a gift. That's not necessarily something that you could just be told. It's a feel. and it comes a lot easier to Bunting than it does to, I think, Nick Ritchie.
The depth up front for the Toronto Maple Leafs have rapidly decreased over the last couple of weeks with Nikheyev, and now we found out that Nick Robertson is going to be out another 10 weeks because he fractured his fibula, which that's frightening. And he was a potential option to maybe get back in the lineup and replace someone that's underperforming like a Nick Ritchie. So do you think that this injury takes him out of the mix for the whole season? Are we kind of stuck with the depth that we have with Nikheyev being also out for a while as well?
Yeah, that's a great question because I don't think Nick Robertson was ever ready to take on coming out of training camp and playing. And I think this latest injury, the second one he's had in 2 years now, where it shows that he's just not heavy enough for the pro game.
Yeah,
and it was an issue last year, and it's still an issue this year. And great success in junior hockey, but like I've said, and I include me in this, there's a lot of 50 and 60 goal scorers that never got a cup of coffee in the NHL. And I'm not saying that that's the case with Nick Robertson, but I'm saying that it's such a leap from junior hockey to playing in the National Hockey League. And Nick Robertson's timing right now isn't the same timing that the Leafs need right now. The Leafs are in the here and now. Nick Robertson's in the development, a pro game stage in his career. And I think it'd be a huge stretch for him now to come back off this injury and be in a position to contribute to the Toronto Maple Leafs. The biggest issue now with Nick Robertson is that his timing doesn't mesh with the urgency for the Leafs to win now. I had suggested maybe using him as a trading chip, and social media killed me last year.
Yeah,
absolutely killed me. He is the top prospect we have. Don't get rid of him. And I'm like, okay, then he could be a great player. He could be scoring 30 goals 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. Guess whose contract runs out in 3 years? So, I mean, it's too bad he suffered this injury. But the other thing too, for Nick Robertson, I think he is a rambunctious guy. For a guy that scored a lot of goals, you don't necessarily see a guy that's plays a little feisty, right? But he just doesn't have the weight behind it. And he puts himself in some tough positions. And if you look at his last two injuries he suffered in the last 2 years, it's because he's in vulnerable positions, because he puts himself, he may have to change his style of play a little bit at the pro level.
So I feel sick for the kid. It's an awful injury to have, but the timing of it is especially bad because Ailish said it. Hey, I'm with you, Kipper, and I'm with you because enough smart hockey people have said the same thing. Hey, he's not ready yet. He needs to put on weight. He needs to get bigger. He needs to play more. He just needs to get more seasoning before he comes to the NHL. And I go, okay. But even still, there was a potential, I thought anyways, for him to eventually come up and maybe contribute to this lineup if a certain scenario broke a certain way. But the things I've heard about him are what you've said, which is that he needs to get stronger. He needs to figure out how to play at the pro level. It's going to take time. And I've been reading between the lines of people like Haley Wickenheiser, who I listen to her, director of player development for this team, say things like Nick Robertson needs to play, that he needs to take some stress off of his shoulders, that he seems like he's someone who's had a lot of time to work on his individual skills. But with the pandemic, this is kind of one of the things that hurt prospects, especially is they didn't get opportunities to play. And now I think a kid who's needed to play, a kid who needs experience, he's going to miss 10 weeks now. And it's going to be an injury where it's hard for him to continuously build muscle and get stronger. You know, like his leg is going to atrophy. That's going to take time for rehab. I'm with you. I think that this injury takes him out for the season when it comes to helping the Toronto Maple Leafs. It does mess with the timeline, but it just feels like out of all the scenarios you could play out of market pressure, what you need to have right now, type of injury, that it's hard not to get really down about this one. And I don't know what the spin is.
Well, it's a temporary setback. It's a long one. It's not
it's months,
4 to 6 weeks. But don't overplay it, because, okay, like I said, Robertson may have not been ready at all, even if he didn't get hurt. And yeah, he loses reps. He loses 10 weeks of some solid building, but it should not be a difference maker on whether or not he can one day be a solid National Hockey Leaguer. And I've come off a major injury. I've seen others come off major injuries at a young age. And if it rehabs well, and the good news is it wasn't surgery wasn't needed. It was a clean break from what I heard, then it should heal fine. And he can still be a great hockey player. It just won't happen this year or maybe even next year. But he's getting closer, but he's going to have to make some adjustments. And one of them is, hey, stay healthy.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. It's tough. I mean, we're trying to evaluate some of the new faces in the lineup. And obviously, Tucker was saying he's liking Bunting's play. But when we come down, and with Richie as well, we have a lot of question marks. But we're not seeing a lot of depth. And we talked about Marner needing to perform a bit more. How are you feeling with Marner and Tavares, their comfort level now, knowing that Austin Matthews is back in the lineup? They got one game there with him in there. Do you think that this is going to be the spark that the team needs, especially for those other guys that I mentioned that are not really up to snuff so far?
Well, Matthews does change the dynamic of that whole front line. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that it's going to trickle down right to Tavares and Marner when it comes to top two defenders and picking who gets the most attention out there. So it will alleviate that much more for them, but they've had great looks. I said on our show the other day that, can you have asked Mitch Marner to play any better?
He's got a lot of chances. Yeah.
Could you ask him to create more? Could you ask him to work harder? Can you ask him to be more noticeable? The answer is no. So what's left? And he said it rather snarly to, someone in the media last year, the puck has to cross over the goal line. Mm-hmm. That's all that's left. And just keep doing what I'm doing. And it's cliche, but it's true. I don't, those two guys, Tavares, who's also been a point muncher his whole career, it's not the top of my list of things I need to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. I think you just said it a few seconds ago. Depth. Yeah, that may be a concern here, and particularly again on the left side. You mentioned Bunting, and Tucker mentioned Bunting, but they're going to need a lot more on that side to produce.
Well, and we might find out that Kosh is not playing tonight or tomorrow because he hasn't been practicing. He took that shot in the last game. We'll see what ends up happening there. But yeah, your depth, it's going to continue to be a question if those things mount up. And especially when it comes with guys like Kasha, who the entire signing happened with. The Leafs have signed Andre Kasha, who, if he stays healthy, .. Nick Kiprios, always appreciate the time. And thanks again for having me on your show.
Yeah. My pleasure. Don't be a stranger, because we need crazy outlandish ideas so we can squash them.
Yeah. That's what Blake and I's role are every morning.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah,
awesome.
To move around. I'm basically letting the takes go everywhere. Thanks, Kipper. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Have a great day.
See you, man. Nick Kiprios, co-host of Real Kipper and Bourne. I'm still...
He could be an audiobook narrator. Do you feel... Like, I think he's very eloquent, and his voice has a great timing to it. It's very nice to listen to. He could narrate audiobooks.
You're kind of hurting everyone's feelings at the station, though, because that's the whole, like, part of the gig, don't you think?
What?
Having a good voice.
Yeah, but, like, I've just noticed
tough if you have,
when
like,
we
a
interview
Gilbert
him.
Gottfried voice.
When we interview him, him and Jeff Merrick have very nice pacing with their words.
I agree. They're pros.
JD, the issue on your side would be... You would just go on tangents.
Yeah.
You're trying to read the book.
What you this meant to character say. Does this
reminds
make any
me
sense.
Of another thing.
Hold on a sec. Why is this character doing this plot?
No. Scratch this book.
Yeah. Let me tell you what it should be.
Yeah.
Here's how I'd kill the mockingbird.
Yeah. I got ideas for that.
The mockingbird
also,
dies?
I gotta,
spoiler alert.
I got to get this off. So Blake has these new headphones. And for whatever reason, he hasn't taken the plastic off of the cord.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Every time he's moving around, it's like, you know, the person who's trying to open chips at night? And it's like, they're just... Like, well, actually, I could just do the sound because I could just grab... Why have you just left that on? Are you thinking about returning them? Is this an issue? Like, what is happening here with the plastic? Because it's very distracting. Like, you're derailing the show.
Two things here.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't hear the plastic crinkling because my headphones are so good.
Oh, okay, so then don't return them. So then take the plastic off. Commit.
Second thing, I'm still getting used to the fact that I'm now bringing my own headphones, and I don't want to forget them, and the plastic catches my eye when I'm packing up to leave.
Why don't you just leave them in your bag?
Or leave
what
them
are you
here.
Using
I
them
have
at home
to
for?
Remember to unplug them and go. Like, normally, you guys just leave your headphones plugged in there. I don't want to leave them here and Will lose head stretches
them
out.
Yeah, that's true. That would be trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tough. Until I get in the habit of, this is only, I think, my second day I brought them. I get in the habit of, oh, yeah, I got to pack up my headphones, that catches my eye.
So I think what we're learning here.
Whatever.
If we can all just really analyze this,
yeah,
is that Blake, who is the show nice guy, you know, he's so nice. He wants to, this is what he wants to do today, selfishly derail the show by opening chips on air while the two of us are trying to do our work.
I don't even eat chips.
Just so he can remember, like, he won't do something else. He won't do something like, say, set an alarm for when the show is done. Nope, not you. Not Mr. Selfish, and also wants to have my grade 7 crush come on and try to give me trauma.
Paula? Was it Paula?
Yeah, that's right. It was Paula. You know, Blake knows. He's already probably spent that interview searching her and trying to find where she's at, where
she's actually on her way to the
and
studio.
And wants to hurt me and harm me. And so all I ask of the people who listen to the show is to think on this. Is Blake really that nice? One has to wonder.
Because I don't want to share headphones.
He's a secret heel.
And don't want to forget them here.
Oh, sorry. Doesn't want to share to the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't want to share. Is willing to distract his teammates for his own selfish gains. Wants to hurt me by bringing up painful things from my past. Is that it? Is there anything else that you want to do today?
Keep digging.
Yeah?
Dig up, stupid. Because this Paula stuff's only...
Paula stupid calls people stupid. Name calls.
That's a Simpsons reference.
Four things now.
Look, this Paula thing's only getting worse for you.
Made fun of Willu's head. Yeah, that was kind of,
well,
you
that's,
know,
yeah, that's, shame that's just a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't watch it, Monday I'm coming in, engaged to Paula.
Oh, Paula.
Wow.
Wow. You haven't even met her. It's like that
ask
show.
Ask you to be the ring bearer.
Why are you laughing so hard?
That's funny. That was a funny joke. That's why he made a funny joke. I just pictured him bringing me like a little pillow and he's like, why don't you carry this?
No, you're best man also. No, you're officiating.
He plays Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
He plays Don't Want to Miss a Thing. He's like, this is our song. Yeah, no, I like that. All right, that was good. Yeah, Blake, see? Kind of quick to these jokes, though.
Yeah,
kind of quick to these dark thoughts.
He's already been thinking
are
about
they
it.
That deep? Or are they on the surface?
Look, I have a lot of time to sit here and think when you're going on your rants and I black out.
Six things that are mean now. That's the counter is up to six.
Speaking of six things, we got Mr. 10 Things coming up.
Mm-hmm, we do.
We just need to bully you four more times to make it work. So.
Yeah, it's fine. I can dig it. I'm not sad.
I like that. Sounds like the dynamic has generally been two of us ganging up on the third one day to day. And Ailish is in the role today of she's just needling both of us. Yeah. And whoever's got the advantage in that moment, she's siding with.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Front runner over here.
That's the smartest place to be.
That's right.
That's why Ailish was probably cool. She's had a friend. And then in high school, someone's like, isn't that person lame? She's like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, what,
you're that person. You're that person.
Can you believe she paid me for these tickets?
Stop it with the tickets.
Yeah. What a sucker. Oh, she didn't even ask me for a receipt or to see the price. I obviously gouged her. I charged double. Yeah, if you're Ailish's friend, she was laughing about how she... she got more. You paid even more than you
also
should've.
She's somehow gone another week without having a turn on coffee.
I offered the last 2 days and Vic paid because he bought food both times. Look, he's nodding. Yeah. So don't even try.
So now maybe the show question is...
Everyone's getting ganged up on today.
Who's the bad guy?
You know? We all
still
are.
You.
Who's, not,
still you.
Who's the bad guy?
Still you.
Not, it has to be asked.